Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Up until a couple weeks ago, you could get on the internet, order a test kit, 23andMe, and find out all about your genetic background. Did you know that? $100, $99. It'll tell you where your ancestors came from genetically. I know where mine came from. Prisons and other areas. It will tell you what your particular leanings are in diseases you could come down with. You ever seen that? 23andMe, $99. They stopped it because they want the people to provide better, how would you handle the information that you're about to learn. Do you know that? All your genes. They can now be able to tell you what you most likely will succumb to and how long you will live based on what your genes tell them. They're getting better and better at it. Now just a little bit of a blood test, it's a swab in the cheek, and then they can tell you all of that. 23andMe, $99. Can't do it right now because they're having to revamp the system. It can tell you your ancestry. Well, we've been studying Hebrews. Let's go back a little bit. Hebrews. What's the one word that describes Hebrews?
Better.
Thank you, Mark. That's always a dangerous question for a preacher to ask, especially when it goes back so far. Better. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. The old covenant was an eye for an eye and a... What's the new covenant?
Love.
And it's because of Abraham that the new covenant, not the law, but the new covenant has been inaugurated. And the question becomes this, as we study Hebrews and it tells us, what's the key principle to live under the better covenant, the new covenant? What's the principle you live under? Faith and obedience. And in chapter 11, he was pointing out people in the Old Testament that pleased God. And how did they please God?
Faith.
And obedience. We're studying Abraham. Abraham, or Abram, as he was first known. Abram wanted something more than anything else in the world at 65. 75, and his wife was 65, and they had no... By that time, in the lifespan of men, lifespans were rapidly dropping. You know, Methuselah lived to 969 years or something like that, didn't he? But by the time of Abraham, that wasn't happening anymore. The effects of sin and the flood and all of that happening, the age was going down. And at 75, Abraham had no children. How would you like to have the name Exalted Father or Father of Height? Abram! And it was a sore spot with Abraham because what he wanted more than anything was children. And he couldn't have them. His wife was 65, 10 years younger. And he wanted that child. And Hebrews says that God promised him that he would fulfill what Abraham wanted. But we found out something shocking last week. Abraham still has not obtained what God had promised him. And we found out that unless we are included in what God promised Abraham, God will not fulfill it until we're included. So the question that we need to ask is, by the way, do you want me to teach what theologians teach or what the Bible teaches? Huh? If you want me to preach, there's a lot of churches where they have theology that controls everything, and if you don't preach a certain theology, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The question we have to ask yourself then is, who is the child of Abraham? This is what he wanted. God told him last week, we said, Abraham, leave everything to gain what? And what do you want most? He wanted a child. How many of you have ever read, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think in Ephesians? Do you know that has nothing about, that means nothing about raising the, rubbing the magic lamp and hoping that God will give you whatever you want, even though these preachers on TV will quote that out of context. You know what able to do above everything we ask or think means in its context? That when God promises something, the promise will always work out much more wondrous than you can ever imagine. And it's in the context, now listen to me, it's in the context of Paul writing about, now get this, the inclusion of you as a child of God. For when that promise was given to Abraham, God was able to do wondrously more than Abraham or anybody else was able to comprehend or imagine. Now the question we ask this morning is, who are Abraham's children? And so we're going to work this through what the Bible says and not what man says. So turn to Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abraham, please note, in 12:1, what's the name of Abraham there? What's it? Abram, exalted father. Wouldn't you hate to have a name for 75 years of exalted father, and what you don't have is what? I don't think it was Abraham's fault. Seems like Sarah had the reproduction problem. Abram, go forth. From your relatives, from your father's house, and I will make you a great, what? How in the wide world do you make a guy into a great nation and he has no, and he can't have one? And I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in you, some of the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham goes forth. He leaves everything, and Hebrews told us last week that he went out, what? Not knowing what? He had no idea. Would you leave and go toward a desert area and have no idea where you were going? By chapter 15. Turn to chapter 15. It's been some years have passed by. How old was Abraham when he started out? How many of you at 75 would, you know, that's, by that time you're retired, you go to Arizona or someplace and you're going to settle down. Man, no, at 75, he hits the road. Several years later, What did God promise him in chapter 12 if he'd leave everything? Nations! And guess what? After all those years, Abraham's going like this. Because nothing's happening. And look what he says. And after the Lord said, I'll be your shield, don't be afraid. Guess what Abraham thinks? Well, hey, Lord, now wait a second here. Did you not promise me several years ago? And Abraham said in verse 2, to the Lord God. And by the way, in the Hebrew, that's very emotional. He is complaining. Boy, when we ask God to do something, we want it right. Oh, Lord, what will you give me? How can you give me anything? You haven't given me what I really want. I am childless. Lord, you made me a promise. You haven't brought it through. It's been several years. I've been patient. I don't really care about your shield and I am your reward. I want a kid. Do you know the agony of couples that can't have children? Have you ever thought about that? In those days, they didn't have test tube babies. Now, it's getting real weird. Now they're able to produce children that have three parents. You just heard it, three parents. Mark, am I blowing smoke? Can you imagine? They can have two mothers and a father. They can do now through different things. They can determine by test tube spinning. They can ensure that you have either a baby girl or a baby boy now by doing that. In those days, if nature didn't work, no kids. I want a child. And the heir of my house, legally, Lord, is this guy named Eliezer. Who's Eliezer? Well, he was under the legal system of Abraham's day. He would get everything that Abraham had if Abraham died without an heir. You've given me no offspring, verse 3. Then in verse 4, God makes him the promise. What's he want more than anything else? A kid. Lord came to him and said, this man shall not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body. He shall be your... And then the most famous verse. In verse 5 and verse 6, then the Lord took Abraham outside. If you ask me, for the Lord to take Abraham outside, this is no vision. This is no dream. Abraham had something that very few have ever had happen. God, in physical form, took him by his hand, and it was night. Some of the weirdest thoughts can come to you at night. He's sitting on his bed, and the Lord stands there and says, come here, Abraham. Takes him outside the tent. And by the way, unless, you know, if you're in certain areas of the country, you can see the Milky Way, the galaxy. Because, by the way, I didn't know this, but we are perpendicular to the Milky Way. The Milky Way is this way, but we orbit perpendicular to the Milky Way. Isn't that weird? That's why when you see the Milky Way out in Utah and other places, it's like this, because we're orbiting, here's the Milky Way, and the Earth and the Sun, we're orbiting like this to it. So we're perpendicular to the Milky Way. And he takes him out there and he says this, you see all those stars? Now look what he says, see all those stars? Count the stars, if you're able. So shall your descendants be. Listen to me. God, first of all, didn't promise him one. He promised him many. Who are the children of Abraham is the question that we must ask, what the Bible says, and not what theologians say. For God made a promise to Abraham and has not fulfilled it. It is not done yet. Well, that's God's promise to Abraham. Now go to chapter... We're going to be here for a little bit, so I'll work my way slowly. Go to chapter 22. It's now been 25 years. Abraham is 100. Sarah is 99. Do you know how bad their faith got in a previous chapter? And we'll go over it. They laughed at God when God kept telling them, I'm going to give you offspring. Sarah laughed. You know what they named that child? By the way, when God starts to begin to fulfill the promise, do you know what the word Isaac means? You laughed. You know, God has a real good sense of humor. Imagine you're embarrassed because God caught you laughing at his promises, and then he told you, name your child, you laughed at me. Isaac! Get out of the dirt! Oh, Isaac, I laughed at God. Well, God has, you know what he wanted by naming that child, you laughed at me? I want to remind him, you can laugh at me all you want, but what I promise, I deliver. Amen. Maybe not in when you want it. Amen. Maybe not in the way you think it's going to be. But I'm going to do above all that you can ask or think. Remember now, the key question is, who are Abraham's kids? Not what theologians say. What does the Bible say? Now imagine you've got the beginning of that promise named Son of Laughter. Son of Laughter, I laughed at God. And in chapter 22... what do you think meant more to Abraham than anything else? You get it. And listen to me. There is nothing that can take God's place in your life. And there was nothing that God wanted in Abraham's life to take the place of him. Even that child. You know, God is a what kind of God? Jealous. Now that's a good sense. You know, when we get to the Bible, well, how can he can be jealous, David? We can't. Well, because God is not impacted by sin, so the jealousy is pure. What do you think meant more to Abraham than anything else? So guess what was standing as an obstruction between him and God? Jesus said, if you love me more, if you love your mother or father more than me, what? You cannot be my disciple. You are not worthy of following me. And this always, if you remember Valerie, this always bothered Valerie, this chapter. Every time I now will preach this chapter, I will think of Valerie, who would give me the dickens over chapter 22. Because it's a difficult passage. Here it is, Abraham finally gets the, Isaac's 12. He loves that kid. And he thinks the only way God can fulfill his promises is if that child is kept safe. And God says to him something that shocks the daylights out of him. Here is what God says in chapter 22. God tested Abraham. You think that you're above being tested? What? You know, this is a test of your affection. Did you know that? Remember now, who are Abraham's kids? We haven't answered that question, but that's where we're going. God took the thing that meant the most to Abraham. It wasn't Sarah. What means the most to you? Well, you'll find out if God ever puts you to the test of affection. Don't ever let anything stand between you and God. He tested Abraham. And here is what he said. Abraham! And Abraham said, here am I, Lord. I bet you he was in a good mood. I just have that figured out. I don't know why. It's preacher's imagination. Okay, so I put my imagination in here now, and I think he's in a good mood, watching his little son, 12 years old, you know, by this time. Actually, some theologians say that he could have been up to the age of early 40s. Isaac. I don't know. Here, my Lord. Oh, you're such a good God. You gave me what I wanted. Verse 2. And he said, take now your son, your only son, through whom everything is riding. Son of laughter. You laughed at me, didn't you, Abraham? Go to the land of Moriah. And I want him back. But wait a second, Lord, all your promises. Isn't that a tough story? He had waited 25 years. He had made mistake after mistake. Ishmael was a mistake. I'll do God a favor. I'll fulfill God's promises for him. That's Ishmael's story. He finally has Isaac. And God says to him through a test of affection, what means the most to you? I want it back. What means the most to you this morning? Even your own life, Jesus said, if you love your own life more than you love me, you can't be my disciple. That's why preachers that give these invitations to accept Jesus, they ought to tell them to count the cost before you ever become a follower of Jesus. These preachers that give these invitations that God is going to do so, rub the magic lamp, the magic genie. God says this, if I call you and make you my child, nothing can stand in the way of your devotion to me. And if Abraham is the spiritual father, God's going to test him for the test of affection. I gave you what you wanted. Now, do you have that what you wanted more than you want me? Think about what you want, and God says you can't put that above me. Go to Moriah and do something that you'd think, how could a loving God ask him to do this? I want him back. Would you have argued with God? I would have. I got to be honest. I know my weakness. Think of what means the most to you. God says it can't stand in place of your sold out, surrendered love to me. Jesus said that. If you love father or mother, children more than me, you are unworthy of me. He said, wow. Nothing's changed. We don't see Abraham fight with God here. That's what amazes me. Verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey. And then it says in verse 4, on the third day. Can you imagine taking your son that you love the most, God wants him back. Give him up. And have to walk 3 days to think about what you're about to do. 3 days. By the way, they didn't call a cab. They didn't fly a plane. They walked with a donkey. And he had to, for 3 days and nights, give it a lot of thought. As they got closer and closer. And Abraham said to his young men, you stay here. And Abraham took the wood and put it on Isaac, took his hand, the fire. By the way, they didn't have matches in those days, so they kept the thing that would have fire in it. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. Notice the kid didn't question. My kids question me all the time. Constantly question the old guy. But in those days, I sound like I'm getting old. They respected their elders and didn't say anything. But he's wondering, what in the wide world are we doing? My father, and Abraham said, yes. Behold the fire and the wood, but there's no lamb. Oh, little did he know, boy, is that irony. Isaac, you're going to be the lamb. I have to know, you have to understand how many of you have had children and how much you love your children and how grieved you are over when your kids do things. You know why? Because you love them so much. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. God will provide. What can I tell you, kid? But the Lord will provide. If it's you, amen. It's hard to tell God when he wants everything, amen. You know what amen really means? So be it, Lord. I'll give you what you want. Boy, this is easy to preach. It's harder to live. They came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar. Now imagine that. 3 day journey, then he's got to build the place where he's going to kill his son. He who loves father or mother, children more than me, is unworthy of me. That's why if you can avoid being a Christian, do it. And he built the altar there and arranged the wood and then did something that shows you the obedience of kids in that day. He bound Isaac. Would you let your dad do that? You could put that together, couldn't you? In those days, if the father wanted to do his kids in, that was the choice of the dad. Did you know that? And I know many of you have felt like killing your kids, but none of you would really do it. What did he love the most in this world? Not Sarah, but I want it back. You can have nothing that stands between me and your love for me and that son. I want him back. I don't want you ever to love that son more than you love me. And laid Isaac, how old he was, I don't know. Probably 12, some say he was, I don't know. But he put that kid on the altar. And you know what? We're finding out Abraham was bound and determined. Lord, if this is what you want, amen, Lord, I'll give you what means the most to me. That, to me, is the mark of a true spiritual person. That could say amen to what we would consider to be something that was completely over the top. I want him back. But Lord, you promised me. I want him back. You can have no other things before me. And look what it says next. And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to kill his kid. I bet you Isaac's eyes were closed, and I bet you Abraham's may have been closed. I'm adding to the preacher's imagination here. You can get me for that one now. And Abraham was bound and determined to give God what he asked. Are you bound and determined to give God what he asks? I think there's coming a time, Christian, when they're going to come for us. The more and more I read, they're now having doctors under the new health care law ask, what religion are you? What did that have to do with health care? They're now restricting chaplains in the Air Force. They're telling Army people that if you give to evangelical causes or to anti-abortion groups, we will court-martial you. If you think I'm blowing smoke, look it up. If a child does not mean more to you, maybe your life means more to you. Skin for skin, as it says in Job, man will do anything to preserve his life. God says, if your life means more than me, I want your life. He stretched forth his hand. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven, saying, Abram, Abram, father of nations. I now know that you fear God. You say, what do you do with that theologically, Pastor Dave? What, God had to figure that out? Leave it just what the Word says and don't worry about trying to theologize. Put man's theology into it. Just accept it. Public demonstration of the test of his affection. I know that you fear God and you have not withheld. You know what? Abraham would have gladly said, Lord, you can kill me. Preserve my son. Well, I tell you, with him, it meant his children are more important to him than anything else. Not even his own skin. God's going to ask you maybe someday, what's the most important thing that you have? I want it back. They're going to come for us. I think the first sign is when they start coming, they'll take the preachers out first. I don't want to be negative, but I'm just telling you, I got to warn my congregation. I got to tell you the way it's at. I call it the way I call it. Maybe your life means more to you. Remember, the key question here is, who are the children of Abraham? Who are Abraham's kids? We'll answer that too. And then he says this, because you have done this thing in verse 16. and you have not withheld what means the most to you, your only son, and by the way, boy, I can fulfill that promise with or without Isaac. You know, we limit God, don't we? Do you think God needed Isaac to fulfill his promise? Are you kidding? Do you think God, you need your life to have God fulfill his promises to you? God can do things above everything. Don't limit him. That's why theology limits God so much. Even if he would have killed Isaac, God, it says in Scripture that Abraham saw him resurrected if he wanted. Could have raised him up from the dead. Now here's the promise. And this is where I leave you until next week. Indeed, I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your... No, not children. If you have a translation that puts anything but seed, get rid of that translation. It's what they call a dynamic equivalence. Literally, in Hebrew and in the Septuagint, it says in the Septuagint, because my specialty is Greek, sperma, your seed. It's singular. Please note that. That is singular. The word seed is singular. I will multiply your seed, singular, as the stars of the... See, what God, when God promises something, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And it could have been on Abraham's mind, well, I'm going to have a lot of little grandkids running all around and grandkids after that and great-grandkids. Want to make a bet? There's something more in mind in God's mind than you can ever imagine here. But what stood between Abraham and God fulfilling this promise? Obedience. Abraham will obey God and trust him, even if it meant giving up the thing that he wanted the most. Now the question becomes, what does the Bible say about the seed? Who is that? What does God say? What, matter of fact, first thing we're going to do next week is we're going to show you what Jesus said. The Bible sheds a lot of light on bad theology. And I'll have some people real mad at me because I don't go with the theologians, I go with what the Bible says. And the Bible corrects a lot of bad theology. So who is this seed that is going to be Abraham's kid?